Well, apparently this is going to be the decade of negotiations that get absolutely nothing done. We're going over some quotes from Ayatollah Khomeini right now, who is the supreme leader of Iran, whom we just made a deal with to keep from getting a nuclear weapon. We're going to go ahead and talk about the thought behind that. What insanity this is again, and what is Congress going to do about it? President Obama has just came out, talked about how he is going to veto any deal which gets in the way of this, because King Obama cannot be disagreed with. He's going to veto anything that comes to his desk by Congress which is going to circumvent or dismantle this nuclear deal, because not for nothing, where has the American Congress been in this whole process? We've been dealing with world leaders, we've been dealing with Iran, the president, John Kerry. Where in the world are our representatives in this? Where are they? They have voiced some opinion, but where are they in the talks? They've been brushed aside because we can't get in the way of King Obama's agenda, because his agenda is the only thing that really matters. This is, this is to go ahead and just kind of give you a little perspective. Here's Obama on the nuclear deal.
Today, after 2 years of negotiations, the United States, together with our international partners, has achieved something that decades of animosity has not. A comprehensive, long-term deal with Iran that will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon.
Oh, okay.
This deal demonstrates that American diplomacy can bring about real and meaningful change.
Okay, wait a minute. Hold on. What real and meaningful change? I'm sorry to stop. I it's a pet peeve when people do this, when I listen to different things. But what change has it brought? Because we have just as much rights as we did before the thing. Iran is the only one that has changed. They're the only one that actually gets relief from economic sanctions. We don't get anything.
Change that makes our country and the world safer and more secure. This deal is also in line with a tradition of American leadership.
Okay, wait a minute. Where's the leadership coming from? American leadership? I'm sorry. Iran has been leading President Obama by the neck in this deal the whole time. There has been no American leadership in this.
It's now more than 50 years since President Kennedy stood before the American people and said, "Let us never negotiate out of fear, but let us never fear to negotiate."
Oh, I didn't even realize that was at the end of that. Let us never negotiate out of fear. Tell me, how are we not negotiating out of fear with this? We just gave them everything. That's not out of fear. Well, that's President Obama. He could go ahead and put another notch in his belt, but effectively driving this country into more and more conflicts. Because this is not going to end conflict. This is going to make conflict worse. This is what people do not realize. Quite frankly, I think the president realizes it too. Honestly. Because by appeasing them, historically, Iran is not Germany. As far as meaning that reference referring to World War II. But there are a lot of factors that are very different. But the same principle of appeasement applies. Historically, on foreign policy, when you appease someone on their demands, and appeasement is not negotiation. Appeasement is, okay, you've yelled long enough, you've cried long enough for what you want, we're just going to give you what you want, and just promise that you'll stop doing these bad things. That's appeasement. It's not negotiation. This isn't a negotiation. This isn't a deal. This is capitulation. And historically, all appeasement does is embolden whoever you are appeasing to violate more of what you were talking about as far as the issue. To violate it more and more and more until conflict is inevitable. That's what it's the same thing with Russia. The same thing with Iran. And actually, speaking of Russia, is an interesting article, CNN.com. This is a editorial, but Russian president, well, isn't every article an editorial anymore, but Russian president Vladimir Putin, apparently the title of it, this was just 3 days ago. Military provocations prove Putin is playing with fire. Interesting title. July 4th, Americans were celebrating Independence Day while a tension-filled drama unfolded along America's western skies. This did not really go reported. In two separate incidents, U.S. fighter jets were scrambled to intercept Russian bombers approaching the country's airspace. Did you know about that? First near the California coast, then just outside U.S. airspace over Alaska. The aircraft's presence has clearly both a warning for the United States, its allies, and Russia's neighbors, and also a bit of bravado to please Putin's Russian fans. It is also part of a worrying trend. True, the Kremlin sent a congratulatory letter on America's birthday. While they smile at us in one end, the knife goes in the back in the other. With Putin apparently telling President Barack Obama that, quote, Russian-American relations remain the most important factor of international stability and security. But it also noted that the two countries should, quote, find solutions to international issues on principles of equality and respect for each other's interests. And we're going to do that by flying bombers close to your airspace. This is what appeasement does, people. It escalates conflict, escalates tension. Those who think that President Obama is doing us a favor by trying to negotiate a deal with Iran, you don't realize that what he's doing is beginning a conflict, not ending it. This is going to begin the conflict with Iran. Mark my words, this is only the beginning. This deal, this isn't peace. This is the beginning of conflict. Real conflict. One we're trying to avoid, ironically enough. But see, one thing that I think about as far as political leaders. I don't believe a word that they say. I don't believe that anyone believes anything politicians have to say anymore. But I also believe that they're very intelligent individuals. Now, I believe they're intelligent individuals because they had to be that in order to get elected. Not every political official is intelligent. That I most certainly do know. I don't know if you've ever seen the video. It's like that one representative who was actually, it was actually a viral video on YouTube where he was actually asking a United States officer in the military. We were moving troops to Guam. He was actually asking about how large Guam was, you know, what was the size of it. He was afraid it would, and I kid you not, afraid it would tip over the island of Guam. He was afraid that by moving too many troops to Guam, because of its size, that it would tip over. I kid you not. So not every politician is a genius, clearly. But that was quite funny, actually. If we could get that for you, that would be really something. If you haven't heard that one before, it is quite hilarious. A little sobering, too. But, see, I believe for the most part, they're very intelligent. I do believe that President Obama does know somewhere where this is going. I do think he does. And I think that he is not being shy about it. He wants his agenda. He's going to get his agenda. And we be thrown to the wolves if we are against it. See, I think he knows what he's doing. I really do. I think that about a lot of politicians. Because you have to think, well, if we assume that they know, because unless And again, this is purely a political move as well, because it looks good for him. That's part of it, too, don't forget. But we have to just look at things for what they are, not what people tell them or tell us what they are. But as far as Putin, though, let's get back to that. The last point, okay, because Putin wrote in a letter, and the letter, the last point said this, find that our two countries should, quote, find solutions to international issues on principles of equality and respect for each other's interests. That last point, this is in the CNN article, likely sounds ominous to too many in Europe, particularly Eastern and Central Europe and the former Soviet states, because it is unclear following the invasion of Crimea quite how broadly Russia now sees its interests, and in light of repeated near incursions by Russian bombers, how far it is willing to push the defense of them. Again, this was underreported. While we were celebrating Independence Day, Russia slapping us in the face by flying bombers just outside our airspace. That didn't really go reported, did it?
I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
Jim was CEO of the hospital, but he still served ice cream at the annual ice cream social. During the day, senior staff members scooped gallons and gallons of ice cream for anyone who dropped by. Staff, patients, guests, anyone. The night shift couldn't leave their stations, so Jim loaded everything onto a cart. He rolled it through three different wings and up 10 floors. Each year, the CEO worked all night so that everyone got a scoop of ice cream. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. Jesus modeled servant leadership for us when he washed the disciples' feet. Jim modeled it scooping ice cream. Do you want people to see Christ? How can you be a servant leader in the high calling of our daily work?
You know, we don't know exactly what Russia has been doing because they've kind of fallen out of reporting. The situation in Ukraine is still dire. It's still raging on, by the way. Hasn't really changed a whole lot. Remember I warned you about Russia, the same principle of appeasement? Because what we were talking, and this is the famous quote by Angela Merkel, basically drawing some parallels between Russia and Germany with World War II. Angela Merkel of Germany who did that. And that was in the news for a while because of what Russia was doing in Crimea and Ukraine, and that was really the headline everyone was talking about. But this is an interesting CNN article, to their credit, I might add, because it goes very in-depth and lets you know of some things that were not really reported. Here it is. So we talked about two Russian bombers who flew just outside California's coast. So just near the California coast and then just outside U.S. airspace over Alaska. U.S. fighter jets were scrambled to intercept these Russian bombers, by the way. This happened July 4th, 10 days ago. Didn't have that reported, did we? We are, see, we're getting for you the information here. Now, there are more things as well here. This kind of gives a good rundown of what has happened. The past year has brought a sharp escalation in Moscow's military provocations aimed at the West. It sets aside the events in Ukraine, which include not only the annexation of Crimea, but continued military activity in the eastern part of the country. Russia conducting unnerving military drills and taunted America's NATO allies by repeatedly violating their airspace. In May, and here is where it has happened, May British fighter jets intercepted Russian long-range bombers north of Scotland. While in February, Russian bombers entered airspace over the English Channel for what the then British Defense Secretary said was the first time, quote, since the height of the Cold War. Now that's not all. Last November, Dutch F-16 fighter jets on a NATO patrol intercepted Russian military cargo planes flying close to Estonian and Lithuanian airspace to Dutch authorities. A interesting, there's apparently a graphic too, kind of outlines from the Washington Post, a two-day timeline of multiple intercepts last year of Russian aircraft by fighter jets from, get this, Portugal, Norway, Turkey, the United Kingdom, and Germany, among others. Those aren't the only ones. Perhaps the most brazen maneuver was the alleged sighting of a Russian submarine within the Stockholm archipelago, which prompted the Swedish Prime Minister to warn of, quote, the enormous risks this entails for those who are involved in such violations. In neighboring Denmark, the Defense Intelligence Service revealed that Russia had conducted what it called an, quote, offensive military exercise involving a mock attack on a Danish island. Did you hear that? What does this barrage of Russian military maneuvers actually mean? The article asks that. There's some interesting situations that could occur here. The taunting by Moscow is very unnerving, of course, for the Baltic states, who were part of the Soviet Union. In fact, Lithuania decided to reintroduce the draft in order to bolster its military. And NATO members, of course, it's going to be causing concern among them. The U.S., of course, is the evil one in all of this. And why do you think that Russia is taking the side of Iran in all these negotiations? To their detriment, I think. Because Iran hates Russia just as much as they hate the United States. Even without a direct confrontation, the tweaking of the U.S. and its allies works for Putin. And while Obama knows that staging American weapons near Russia plays into Putin's narrative, failing to do so would leave allies vulnerable in the face of a regime that has proven it is quite prepared to take military action to advance its territorial, strategic, and political ambitions. I think that's quite an insightful conclusion. And I don't think Obama's going to do a thing about it because he is concerned only about himself. He doesn't care about the country. Interesting graphic here. I'm looking at this from the Washington Post. 2 days of Russian intercepts. 8 Russian aircraft were intercepted over the North Sea. 6 returned to Russia while 2 bombers continued to the Portuguese coast. 7 Russian aircraft are intercepted over the Baltic Sea. At least 7 Russian aircraft intercepted another time, twice over the Baltic Sea. This isn't one scout. This is seven fighters. And actually a contingent, because it's fighters, it's bombers, and attack aircraft. Fighters from Denmark, Finland, and Sweden, as well as Portuguese and German fighters from the NATO Baltic Air Policing Mission intercepted the Russian flights in the Baltic Sea, as well as four Russian aircraft being intercepted over the Black Sea. Appeasement is not working, people. Might I add more? Well, let's go back to Mr. Khomeini. This is, I like this one. This is from jihadwatch.org, July 14th, 2010. You want to know what they think about America? Here we go. Islam makes it incumbent on all adult males, provided they are not disabled or incapacitated, to prepare themselves for the conquest of other countries so that the writ of Islam is obeyed in every country in the world. But those who study Islamic holy war will understand why Islam wants to conquer the whole world. Those who know nothing of Islam pretend that Islam counsels against war. Let me say that again. Those who know nothing of Islam pretend that Islam counsels against war. Those who say this are witless. This is Ayatollah Khomeini. This is Iran, who we just struck a nuclear deal with. Islam says, I'm quoting him here, kill all the unbelievers just as they would kill you all. Oh, that's nice to know. We're negotiating with them. Does this mean that Muslims should sit back until they are devoured by the unbelievers? Islam says, and I'm still quoting him here, if you could believe your ears, kill them. Put them to the sword and scatter their armies. Does this mean sitting back until non-Muslims overcome us? Islam says, kill in the service of Allah those who may want to kill you. Does this mean that we should surrender to the enemy? He's going on a tangent here. He's got a train of thought he's wanting us to get. Islam says whatever good there is exists thanks to the sword and in the shadow of the sword. Well, there goes nuclear non-proliferation. We'll just turn the tables on this right now. We just struck a nuclear deal with a country where their leader has said that whatever good there exists thanks, Islam says whatever good there is exists thanks to the sword and in the shadow of the sword. People cannot be made obedient except with the sword. There's a quote that you should go ahead and put on your wall from Ayatollah Khomeini. People cannot be made obedient except with the sword.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. A done deal that talks on Iran's nuclear program. Six world powers, including the United States, sign off on an agreement to curb Iran's nuclear activity in exchange for billions of dollars in sanctions relief. Here's President Obama.
Because of this deal, we will, for the first time, be in a position to verify all of these commitments. That means this deal is not built on trust. It is built on verification. Inspectors will have 24/7 access to Iran's key nuclear facilities.
And Secretary of State John Kerry.
The international community will be lifting the nuclear-related sanctions on Iran's economy.
That's to be done in stages. Iran has claimed for years that it's not trying to develop a nuclear weapon. Iran's president repeated that today in a statement about the agreement. This is a Fox News alert.
Did you just look down at your phone? You did it again, didn't you? You know, you're flying down the road in a 3-ton hunk of steel, and a text takes your eyes off the road for an average of 5 seconds. At 55 miles per hour, that's long enough to travel the length of a football field and cause some serious damage. Turn it off. Trust me. Whatever it is, you'll live.
Learn more at StopTextStopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, "Because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power." I'm Sam Rohr saying, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ no matter the cost.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." I think this verse has a lot to do with us getting our priorities straight. The words come from Jesus. He said, "Look, you can worry about food or drink or clothing like the non-believer, or you can worry about number one thing." Listen, if you are attempting to be a good steward, we must not forget that in our stewardship, as the great hymn says, we must first turn our eyes upon Jesus.
You've just heard a Stewardship Moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
So the Ayatollah of Iran thinks that, well, the only way people can be made obedient is with the sword. Negotiating with someone like that, not just, you know, putting them down, that is the key to ending conflict, by letting someone like that run negotiations. Here we go. "The sword is the key to paradise, which can be opened only for the holy warriors." That's from the Ayatollah. There are hundreds of other Quranic psalms and hadiths saying of the Prophet, urging Muslims to value war and to fight. Does all this mean that Islam is a religion that prevents men from waging war? And here's the one that just sits with me. "I spit upon those foolish souls who make such a claim." That's from jihadwatch.org. Go ahead, look them up. Yeah, they've got a whole bunch of things. That should make you feel real good about this deal we just reached with Iran. Welcome to the program. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL. Mike Levin's here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Let your voice be heard this morning. Of course, the big news of the morning is that we have reached a deal with Iran. The CNN headline actually says, "At last, a deal." Almost like, thank God. I don't know what it really has achieved. It hasn't really achieved a whole lot. That's not something that we should necessarily be proud for. But why is that? Well, you know, I've been reading to you different quotes. I've been, you know, looking at been looking at what the Ayatollah has been saying. Let's go ahead and let's see what the maybe let's see what the foreign minister Mohammed Jarif had to say there. Looking at a article here. This is you know what? This is actually an interview here. I'll go ahead and play this real quick for you. This is just an interview that was done real quick of the foreign minister. Here we go. I'll cue this up for you. Go.
Mr. Foreign Minister, thank you so much for giving us some of your time.
Happy to be with you.
We've noticed a sudden flurry of meetings. Is this a sign that things are getting bogged down or moving forward?
Well, it's a sign that we are very serious and we want to reach a conclusion. We suggested that we needed to raise the level of technical discussions. So we had our head of an atomic energy organization and the United States brought the Secretary of Energy, both very well-known nuclear physicists, in order to reach some sort of a technical understanding. And that proved to be a very important, useful step, and we have been able to move forward with a good number of issues dealing with the technicalities, because we've said all along that our nuclear program is exclusively peaceful, and when we have experts sitting together, they can ascertain that rather easily, and I'm very happy that that has gone well. Of course, that doesn't mean that we have resolved all the
issues. Okay, all right. So I'm seeing some issues here. Now, this was an interview done by NBC, okay? This is an interview March 4th. Okay, this happened March 4th of this year. So it was months ago. But I'm seeing an issue here, okay? I'm seeing an issue with the rhetoric which is coming, which we've all, of course, had an issue with. You know, why is the Ayatollah sitting there, and why are people chanting death to America, and he's joining right along with them? And then you seem to have this foreign minister, Javad Zarif, who seems to be speaking our language. We're working on the technical issues, you're making sure that we understand this, and I love Ann Curry doing the interview here. She is almost can't contain herself with how happy she is that she's getting to interview him and how happy she is that we're talking about some kind of diplomacy, some diplomatic deal. There are some people in this country who are so afraid of any kind of conflict that they'll do anything to avoid it, even if that's to the detriment of others. And she's so happy, she's so wide-eyed that they're talking about a nuclear deal. We're learning about the specifics, and we're talking about the details. Real progress is being made. See, he said that we only have a peaceful nuclear program. Oh, wait a minute. What did the Ayatollah say again? Oh, wait. No. Don't publish this. This is going to cause problems, okay? We don't want this whole deal to be upended by... I know he's the supreme leader of Iran, but I'm sure that's what the conversations were at NBC. We don't want to... We can't publish that because we don't want that to upset. Listen, I know he's saying these things, but he said these things for years. You know, it's not necessarily what the people of Iran think. Oh, really? They've been fed this for years from this supreme leader, the Ayatollah, that the sword is the key to paradise. People cannot be made obedient except with the sword. Islam says, kill them, the non-Muslims. Put them to sword and scatter their armies. Oh, that's good. Because this is all about one thing. This is about getting Islam across the world. 610-539-TALK, the number to call. As far as what does Iran want? Well, that's what they want. You know, I haven't talked about it in a little bit. We were talking about it a lot last week. You know, we're, of course, talking about same-sex marriage. Of course, what the Supreme Court ruled on. We've got some quotes, and these were talked about a lot when the ruling came out. But if you haven't heard them, you hear them here. There has been some prolonged weeping and gnashing of teeth here at WFYL. We know what Scripture says about homosexuality. In the words of a biblical scholar, this hasn't happened since the time of Noah. But here's Scalia. And if it's interesting, because if you read articles referring to Scalia's dissent, Justice Scalia, they say it was face-melting. I liked that. I liked that description. He wrote, quote, to call attention to this court's threat to American democracy. Today's decree says that, this referring to the Supreme Court's ruling, says that my ruler and the ruler of 320 million Americans coast to coast is a majority of the 9 lawyers of the Supreme Court. Justice Alito saying today's decision usurps the constitutional right of the people to decide whether to keep or alter the traditional understanding of marriage. Chief Justice Roberts said gay marriage supporters should celebrate, but don't celebrate the Constitution. It had nothing to do with it. And Justice Thomas, aside from undermining the political processes that protect our liberty, the majority decision threatens the religious liberty our nation has long sought to protect. It was founded on protecting religious liberty. Need I remind you, the Pilgrims, it's the reason they came over here, to get underneath the oppression of England in order that they may practice their religion free from pressure. Well, what do you think about this for religious liberty? Of course, the county clerk in Kentucky, Casey County Clerk, governor, of course, put him underneath a lot of pressure to either issue same-sex marriage licenses or resign. That's not religious pressure at all. Now, this was 5 days ago, okay, in an article that I'm looking at. This is at Kentucky.com. Kentucky.com, Lexington Herald Leader, okay? Governor Steve Beshear telling County Clerk Casey Davis Thursday that Davis should issue marriage licenses to every qualified person or resign. He also said he won't call a special legislative session to address same-sex marriage issues. Some legislators and county clerks have called for that special session because, mind you, the people don't matter anymore. They just don't. It's the truth. I'm looking at a CBS News article for the latest on this now, as far as same-sex marriage. And this county clerk, another county clerk, Kim Davis, one of a handful of local officials across the country who've refused to comply with the court's order because they say it violates their religious beliefs. American Civil Liberties Union sued Davis. This actually brings up an important point, an important question, which is that should a government official be allowed to have an expression of their personal religious beliefs? That's a good question. Should a government official be allowed to express their personal religious beliefs? Or do they just become a product, a member of the state? Kim Davis, referring to it as a deep-rooted conviction. My conscience won't allow me to do that. It goes against everything I hold dear, everything sacred in my life. We're going to be finding that Christians are going to be the minority here from going now on. That Christians are the ones that are going to be not popular, that are going to be the ones that are ridiculed, and already are. We're finding this developing more and more, and it's only going to continue. There's only one hope in all this. You know, everything. I don't care. Russia, Iran. It's Jesus Christ.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
The 38th president was born this day, July 14th, 1913. His given name was Leslie Lynch King Jr., but his stepfather renamed him. The only Eagle Scout to become president, he attended the University of Michigan on a football scholarship, graduated from Yale Law School, served in the Navy during World War II, and was elected to Congress. When Richard Nixon resigned, he succeeded him, becoming the first non-elected president. His name, Gerald Ford, who said, "I ask you to confirm me as your president with your prayers, and I hope that such prayers will also be the first of many."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. At last year's December meeting, the Pennsylvania Family Institute Board of Directors decided to hire an additional constitutional attorney for our Independence Law Center to join in the fight for religious liberty and the sanctity of life. It was a step of faith because it means we need to bring in additional financial support to accommodate the growth. But it was also a very timely decision because the attacks on religious liberty for individuals, churches, and ministries are growing by the day. And that's why I'm so glad that attorney Jeremy Samick has joined our chief counsel, Randy Wenger, on the Independence Law Center team. They're here to help you and all Pennsylvanians fight for religious liberty. Please consider helping us financially with a generous, tax-deductible contribution.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The Pocket Testament League presents Pocket Power. Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. If you've ever failed to share your faith because you just didn't know what words to use, then carry the word with you.
I really enjoy sharing the word of God with others, especially people I come across on the streets who sometimes feel there isn't any hope. The word of God brings light to any situation, and that's why I share with people.
Hello, I'm Mike Brickley, president of the Pocket Testament League. We'd love for you to experience the joy that comes from giving someone the inspired Word of God. We'll make it easy for you. Won't you join us?
The youth publications will be perfect for a youth Sunday school. As the children learn, this will be a special publication to lead them to Christ and to an understanding of salvation. Thank you and God bless you.
What are you waiting for? Read, carry, and share the gospel every day. For more information, call 1-800-636-8785 or visit pocketpower.org. That's pocketpower.org.
Welcome back to the program, 1180 WFYL, where we are working for your liberty. And there's an interesting article that we're going to get to in just a moment, but thank you for listening. Mike Levin's here. You could call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. So we are looking at interesting article here at WND.com. There is, and this is something that was in the headlines a while ago. A news report that stunned the world 9 years ago about the discovery of possible ancient chariot wheels at the bottom of the Red Sea. Remember the Red Sea, the crossing of the Red Sea, Israelites, the Exodus from Egypt. It's suddenly gaining fresh attention. There's a new video claiming, quote, irrefutable evidence that corroborates the find. In June 2003, WND interviewed Bible enthusiasts who dove the waters of the Red Sea, alleging they found and photographed parts of chariots that may be the actual remains of the catastrophe brought upon the Egyptian army, which pursued the Israelites, according to the book of Exodus in the Bible. I am 99.9% sure I picked up a chariot wheel, said Peter Elmer, a forklift mechanic in England, made two diving trips to the Gulf of Aquaba branch of the sea. It was covered in coral. I believe I actually sat in an ancient chariot cab. Without question, it is most definitely the remains of the Egyptian army. Now, Michael Rood, a Hebrew roots teacher, has produced a video offering evidence Elmer is absolutely correct. His DVD titled The Red Sea Crossing documents the work of numerous researchers from the U.S. and overseas who have probed an underwater land bridge between a beachhead in Egypt and what is today Saudi Arabia. What they found strewn across the bottom of the Red Sea has shaken the religious and scientific community. Cameras mounted on remote-controlled submarines revealed coral-encrusted chariot parts, horse and human remains strewn like battlefield wreckage in the bottom of the Red Sea. He uses the term Reed Sea instead of Red Sea, as that's the literal translation of the words Yam Suf in Holy Scripture, referring to the body of water God miraculously opened for the ancient Israelites to come and cross on dry land before drowning the Egyptians in hot pursuit. Even a novice can readily see that these are not natural coral formations, showing a variety of circular shapes, he insists, are the chariot wheels, some with axles still intact. Because coral does not attach to gold or silver, there's a single gold-veneered four-spoked chariot wheel that has been photographed and buried in place with a marker buoy nearby. Because coral does not attach to gold or silver, this priceless specimen remains untarnished by time, he said, calling it strong evidence that this is actually one of the two chariot wheels that the pharaoh rode to his death. Rood also explained giant pillars have been found on both sides of the crossing to mark the event. One was discovered eroded on the Egyptian shore by the late American archaeologist Ron Wyatt. Later, another was on the Arabian side with legible remains of ancient Paleo-Hebrew inscriptions. He said the words for Pharaoh, death, Egypt, King Solomon, and the sacred name of God, YHWH, which is in scripture because there are no vowels in it, are all present on the second pillar. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, this is a quote from it, knew exactly where the children, this is from Rood, I'm sorry, knew exactly where the children of Israel made their escape just 500 years before, and he established pillars to memorize the Yam Suf crossing. He points out the depth of water would make it impossible for a crossing to have taken place anywhere, with the exception of the shallow land bridge. If the water were to be removed, it would be impossible to cross this chasm, which is as deep and wide as the Grand Canyon in Arizona. But, he added, at the beach where Israel camped, an underwater land bridge gently slopes at a 6-degree angle, levels out at about 900 feet, then gradually rises to meet the western shore of Midian. Interesting stuff, huh? Why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because God's word, it's true. I'm talking about this because we have abandoned and are abandoning Christianity as a nation, and we're going to do it to our detriment. We're doing this, and why am I saying this? Because God's word is true. It is true. All these facts I just talked about, you chariot wheels found at the bottom of the Red Sea. I'm looking at the photos. This is WND.com. WND.com. And to be able to find evidence of what looks like a battlefield, we're talking about, as the biblical story goes, the Egyptian army was in tow. Hundreds, if not thousands of chariots. To find chariot wheels, bodies, horses strewn on the bottom of the Red Sea. If that is not the most compelling thing for the non-Christian, it is certainly attention-getting. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. Mike Levins here. talking about how God's word is real. And this is just one article we're looking at. And we're talking about a lot of different issues today. Talking, of course, about same-sex marriage. Talking, of course, about the Iran nuclear deal. And even Russia incursions that have been occurring around Europe. But also on July 4th, close incursions by Russian aircraft into our airspace, which was not reported. There is so much happening in the world, it's hard to keep up with it sometimes, but we as a nation, if we do not turn on the path we are on, we are going to be farther, and we're not going to be able to solve it with politics. We're going to be farther along this path, which is going to end in destruction, than we can ever turn back from. Than ever. We've needed God more than ever before. And we are basically shoving it back in his face with different things like the Supreme Court ruling, with different things like even this Iranian nuclear deal. This is all happening. I even put that forward. This is all happening just because we are walking away from God. Now, why though? Why is that? Because as we have proclaimed ourselves to be wise, we are becoming fools. We need to remember that no matter what happens, no matter the next headline that comes out tomorrow, the next day, or the day after, no matter what happens, no matter what may come, that Jesus Christ is the answer to all these things and is Lord over all. And when we remember that, we will be blessed as we've been in the past. But it does not come first without surrendering ourselves to Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 to 9.
Have you checked out our podcasts on our WFYL homepage? Did you know you could stream us anytime, night or day, 24/7 at 1180WFYL.com? If you like what you hear on WFYL, please email us at info@1180WFYL.com to let us know.